Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
This summer, Kilmainham Jail in Dublin was voted one of the top tourist attractions in the world, according to the Traveller's Choice compilation on TripAdvisor, claiming 13th place on the list of 25. So, what makes this tourist attraction such a hit with tourists? It's a very busy place for visitors this summer, so Evelyn O'Rourke headed into Kilmainham Jail to join the queues and meet the team for us. Remind us of the history here, Evelyn.
Well, this jail opened in 1796, Philip. It was the new county jail for Dublin, and it has held thousands of prisoners over the years. And while most were common criminals, of course it held political prisoners, those names we recognise so well, you know, Robert Emmet, Anne Devlin, Parnell, Countess Markovitch, and of course the leaders of the 1916 Easter Rising held at this jail too, and 14 of whom were executed there in the Stonebreaker's Yard. The jail then was closed in 1924, and this bit is really interesting. It was restored, bits of it, by the Kilmainham Jail Restoration Committee, much of it voluntarily, men and women who gave up their time to try and restore it. Then it was handed back over to the state in 1986, and today it's run by the OPW, the Office of Public Works. So I started my visit by joining one of the tour guides, David Robson, at the museum entrance as he welcomed in the latest group of visitors.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're very welcome to Kilmainham Jail this afternoon. Just a couple of things before we go inside. Floors in the jail are original, they're fierce uneven, doorways are very low as well, so just be careful. So, do you want to go to jail? Now, my friends, you want to come with me? So, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to ascend this staircase into the old prison chapel. So as we go up, please be sure to use the handrails for your own safety, okay? So, folks, come this way. Now, guys, you can just take any seat at all. So my friends, Kilmainham first opened in the year 1796. Now, it opened as the county jail for Dublin. The vast majority of people to be held here over the years, you're talking ordinary people. We had murderers, debtors, we had thieves, we had men, women and children. In fact, our youngest recorded prisoner was here in the year 1856. His name was Thomas Roberts. His crime, he was out begging on the streets. Now, guys, how old do you think he was? 3 years of age in Kilmainham Jail for 2 weeks on his own. But ladies and gentlemen, over 150,000 prisoners in this jail over the years. But today, the jail is mainly known for Irish political prisoners and Irish historical figures. You've got 16 men being killed for their roles in the Rising. 14, they're killed right here in Kilmainham. But I tell you, one of the men who died was a 28-year-old poet. His name, Joseph Plunkett. Before Joseph Plunkett was executed, he was granted one last request. You see, he wanted to marry his fiancée, Grace Gifford. And of course, where's the wedding going to take place? But right here in the prison chapel. So Grace Gifford, she was brought through the door we just came through, followed soon after by Joseph. And after the vows had been exchanged, Joseph taken right back to his cell. That's why today the jail stands as something of a silent witness to some of the most momentous moments in Irish history.
What David was doing there answers my next question almost, because one of the things that my problems used to be with Kilmainham Jail was the way that we, those of us who did the inter-search, were forced to learn it, was a list of political prisoners, one after the other. How do they deal with that?
Well, I thought even the mention there of the three-year-old being incarcerated, like that has just really stuck with me, that that's the kind of social history that the prison tells. And that's a big thing for the guides, you know. And I have to say, it was my first time being up there and I just thought it was beautifully restored. And those volunteers we mentioned who worked on it as such a labour of love did so much to it. And then there was that massive €5 million revamp in 2016. And it features those stories right from the 1798 rebellion, right through the Easter Rising to the Civil War. And as you're saying, Philip, they're the headline stories. But when you visit the jail, you quickly realise that the tour covers so much more. The story of the women, for example, is there at the moment. The women who are incarcerated there over the years, there's an exhibition on that. The people who are sent to jail during the famine times, some of them choosing maybe to go in for safety. More details again about the fact that so many people were kept there before they were deported to Australia, that it was a depot there. And the guides there talk about the stories from inside the prison walls, reflecting the social history happening outside. Kira Scott is the supervisor guide there at the jail, and she began by telling me about the visitor experience and what they offer the tourists.
So Evelyn, you're very welcome to Kilmainham Jail. We're standing here in one of the exercise yards in the jail, and you have this amazing view of the two wings of Kilmainham Jail. We have the old Georgian wing, and now we have the new Victorian wing, which dates from 1861. So the visitors, when they arrive at Kilmainham Jail, will arrive to the Courthouse Visitor Centre. At the heart of the visitor experience, obviously, is the guiding team. They guide the visitors through 128 years of history.
In an hour.
And they're brilliant storytellers because it is all about stories. I think visitors really respond and connect to the stories of Kilmainham Jail. There are many sad stories. There are stories of despair at times. For example, during on Gartha Mór, the Great Hunger, we have an influx of people into the jail who are trying to survive. We have stories of heartbreaking separation because the jail was a depot for people before they were transported to Australia to serve their sentence. And they're not all for serious crimes. Many of the people transported to Australia were transported for committing very petty crimes. And then you have those stories of loss. Of course, the leaders of the 1916 Easter Rising were executed here. So the guides tell stories of their last moments in Kilmainham Jail when family members came to say goodbye to them. And we also have stories of courage, I suppose, inspiration, fighting for Irish independence. That's the guide's job. They're the storytellers, and they're wonderful storytellers.
And why do you think it is that this one place has drawn so much sort of affection and respect?
Most people don't realise that Kilmainham Jail is a national monument, but many visitors would have some awareness of the association of the jail with the struggle for independence.
They're fascinated
to learn more, to come and see the building. The visitors can explore the museum, for example, the copy of the proclamation that we have, or Grace Plunkett's wedding ring that Grace bought the afternoon before she married Joseph Plunkett. We have the letters that some of the men wrote to their families before they were executed. You know, you see the guides having great discussions with the visitors, and I think actually the visitors really appreciate that.
Ciara Scott spoke there of connection to the past. I know when I visited Kilmainham Jail, the most visceral of those connections was to 1916. You didn't have to imagine the leaders of the Rising being there and living out their final days there. You were transported back to that moment in time. How do they deal with that?
I agree. The atmosphere in the building is unique, isn't it? And the way they plotted, Philip, is you make your way through, and then kind of near the end of the tour, you're brought to the 1916 floor, as they call it, and that you see the names above each door, and then you're brought out to the Stonebreaker's Yard, and that's really moving, I have to say. And just to see, as I said, those the names really stops you in your tracks. So David O'Neill is another one of the tour guides, and he gave me the tour of that final part of the museum experience.
This is what we would call the 1916 landings. It was here where some of the leaders of the uprising, where they would have been held, we think, prior to their execution. To my right, we have the cell where Joseph Plunkett was held. You can have a look into the cell.
Oh,
yeah.
So dark and dank.
Two doors down here, we have the cell where Michael Mallon was held.
And he had a young family.
He has a very young family. And what I think is particularly sad about Mallon is, as he's been brought down from Richmond Barracks here to Kilmainham Jail, he would have passed his house. But remember, it was only in 2018 that Michael Mallon's last surviving son passed away.
Your old Countess Margaret.
Yes, she was the only woman associated with the uprising to be sentenced to death. She was later released in a general amnesty in 1917.
So all these household names.
These are the names from the history books. I mean, for example, Patrick Pearce.
Oh, yep.
He would have been brought down in the evening and executed at dawn the following morning. Beside him, actually, his younger brother, William Pearce. And then just beyond him again, Thomas MacDonagh. If you follow me now, we're going to walk into the Stonebreaker's Yard. It was here in 1916 where the leaders of the Easter Uprising are executed by firing squad. 13 of the leaders are executed here to my right, where you see this small black cross. The firing squad, we think, would have stood roughly here. Firing squads were made up of 12 men, British soldiers, men of the Sherwood Forester Regiment, six kneeling, six standing. But the last man executed here in 1916, James Connolly, he's treated slightly differently. Connolly had been injured during the uprisings. On the morning of the 12th of May, he's brought down here by ambulance. So they propped him up on a chair. And while he's propped up on the chair, he's executed by firing squad, where you see the other small black cross. But after the executions were over, however, the bodies of the leaders, they were never returned to the families for burial. Instead, they were taken from here and they were brought to a military graveyard, Arbour Hill.
It really is incredibly moving, isn't it? Hair up on the back of your neck just listening to that once again. So, talk to me about what it beat. It came 13th out of 25 on this Traveller's Choice poll. What did it lose out to? What did it beat?
Oh, you know, you'll never have heard of these places. The Acropolis, Petra, the Taj Mahal, they all came behind Kilmainham Jail on the list.
No risk of dying of sunstroke in Kilmainham Jail, that's for sure.
So, yeah, exactly. But the number one spot went to Gaudi's Basilica de Sagrada in Barcelona, no surprise there. But Kilmainham did really well.
No risk
well.
Of getting pickpocketed in Kilmainham Jail either, I suppose, by way of contrast.
Well, it was funny, we're talking to the team there. They're thrilled with the accolade. They didn't know it was coming. And suddenly TripAdvisor published this list and the phone started going. And I mean, it's a busy spot anyway. It is a sellout for the coming days. Little availability in high season. So well worth refreshing the website to see if you can get tickets in quieter times. €8 per adult. It's around 90-minute experience. And it receives over 300,000 visitors a year. And one of the things I'd forgotten about, of course, is that it's used as a location. You know, it was in movies like Paddington 2, Michael Collins, and The Name of the Father. Like, it's really dramatic there. It feels really just interesting when you're there. Also, we have to mention National Heritage Week, running from the 12th of August with more than 80 Office of Public Work events on that week. So go check the website. Many of them, 70 of them, I think, have guided tours. But back to the jail, though, and I got to talk to the tourists and I said, you know, what do you think? Did it deserve its spot on the list? So here are just some of the visitors that I met up there at the jail that day.
Well, the taxi driver recommended it on the way in from the airport.
Really?
He said the must-do thing is to come here.
Good tip.
Yeah, it was.
I knew a bit about the 1916 uprising and I knew that they'd been executed here, but that would be about all, I think. But it's been a really fantastic afternoon. More of the sense of the atmosphere and the experience and...
Atmosphere is what has really struck me today.
Yes, the atmosphere, particularly in the older wings, was really quite eerie.
What are you leaving here with, do you think?
We've done other jails in Eastern Europe and in the north and in various other places. We've seen lots of other jails and you feel you see little bits of it that are original. But here you walk into the big wing there and you see it all. Huge. It's massive.
So you're impressed by how it's done?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been very well reconstructed and the atmosphere recreated, definitely.
It's about 9 years since we'd been, and it's just to update ourselves and introduce the children to...
You had preteens.
Yeah.
Did it
These
capture them,
do you
think?
And niece, yes. Yeah, it was very good. I really enjoyed it. I suppose the historical fact of it, I mean, there was a lady on our tour whose, I think it was her grandmother or some relative, had been a part of the 1916 rising, and she was telling us all about the medals and that she had, so it meant so much to them.
It's magic.
So, yeah.
I moved to America. That's my son. So his grandmother's Irish. And when he found out about the jail and he knew we were coming to Ireland, the one thing he wanted to do was come to the jail.
Irish history, you know, very important.
You're glad you came?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this is like the main thing for me.
Absolutely loved it. Very informative. And a lot of the things that I thought I knew, I hadn't a clue about.
You really sort of think when you're from and living in Dublin that you know it all.
Indeed, we don't.
Why was it on your list?
Well, my daughter's up from Kerry and we just thought we'd do a few little things around Dublin and this was first on the list.
You seem to be energised by it.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't think it was as big as it was. It's huge.
Beautifully done.
I thought we'd get around there, we'd be out in about an hour and a half. So how many hours are we in there? We're in there about 3 hours.
No way.
Yeah, we were surprised by the museum. Thought the museum was amazing. Like, we were impressed by how many artefacts they had. It was lovely. Thought now the jail tour itself could have been a little bit longer.
So you went in at what time?
1:30.
And it's what time now? Look at my watch.
Nearly 5 o'clock.
And they're throwing you out, like.
We got it for a tenner because my mum got pension.
Sunday. Pension. She wouldn't get a pizza for that.
No.
Let's go and spread the word.
It's popular though, isn't it?
Oh yeah, but I mean, listen to that. I mean, usually when you come out of a museum, people might be moaning, you know, and when is it going to hurry up? This was the complete opposite. Everybody I met was dawdling, lingering, delighted to be there. The museum bit comes at the end. There's so much interesting there. It's just a really vibrant experience, I think, for tourists, which is why it's obviously done so well with them, you know.
But tickets are at a premium.
They sure are. Go click that button and see how you get on.
Evelyn, thank you very much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.